depend on AM radio for their news, weather, sports, and a community connection. It's the backbone of the emergency alert system. It's critical that we keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress we need AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm Todd Morris for Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. Two key mission leaders remain in critical condition following a tragic bus accident that claimed the lives of 11 Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, workers in Tanzania. Please pray the believers in critical condition will stabilize. They need to be moved to a different hospital with better care. Pray the children and spouses of those who passed away won't grow bitter towards God for taking their loved one. Meanwhile, a recent trip to Madagascar brought Wycliffe USA leaders face-to-face with church leaders doing Bible translation. A local church started translation work in 4 minority languages. Now Wycliffe USA is coming alongside to provide the technical support needed to complete and publish the New Testament in these 4 languages. Your prayers and gifts can help pave the way for all people in Madagascar to access the life-giving words of Scripture. Find your place in the story at missionnews.org. A service of One Way Ministries. I'm Dot Morris.
AM radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. And it's also a vital service that provides important emergency information when your community needs it most. Tell Congress you need AM radio to stay in your car. Because when cell phones and the internet are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress we need AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
A veteran's hope. Where are you hiding? I search for you in the seconds, the minutes of each and every day. Hear me as I call out to you. Welcome me home. Alone we stood. Divided we fell. No longer. Now we choose to make the connection. Our new mission lies within. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to learn more.
Your greatest achievement is your family. You worked long and hard to grow your dreams for the ones you love, knowing their wishes will be honored should the unexpected happen. Introducing Caring Wills and Trusts from the law offices of Lawrence Puritz. Let us customize your will and trust now for your family's needs tomorrow. Call now for a free consultation. Caring Wills and Trusts. Take care of your family today to provide a better tomorrow.
Call 343-0500. Online at CaringWillsAndTrusts.com.
Good morning. Did you see this where there's actually serious discussion that NFL football games are rigged? And it's actually presented in Forbes magazine. And I don't know. I find it hard to believe that that games are fixed. But then again, you see things happen about the Rams. Where they were shaving points, where the team still wins, but you have to win by a certain amount, and they kicked a field goal, which was really unnecessary, but it covered the spread, and people were like, well, why would they have to kick that field goal? Why not just let the clock wind down instead of taking the risk that it's going to be blocked, that kind of thing? So those are the kind of things that happen. And with me is Alfredo Romero of Rock of Life Fellowship, the pastor there. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is really religious. I guess it is because we're talking about, you know, cheating, but lying and actually stealing. I grew up in – I didn't grow up. I kind of grew up. I spent about 11 years in Las Vegas, and there were always scandals of, you know, discussions of point shaving, even involving the UNLV Rebel basketball team in the 1991 season. And I used to spend a lot of time in sports books and – And they were very careful about that. It was you couldn't even wager on any sporting event that took place with a Vegas team. So you couldn't. So sports books were like, we don't want UNLV to advance in the tournament because it was against the gaming laws to make a bet on. To take a bet on UNLV, they couldn't even post a line. They could post a line, but they couldn't take wagers because it was a team that was in Las Vegas. And the same went with, but that's all changed now.
Oh, yeah.
Now you can bet on UNLV, their basketball team. But back then and during their heyday, they would go to the finals. And UNLV and the sports books couldn't take action on any game involving UNLV. So when UNLV made the championship, The sports books were losing money. They didn't root for them. They had to pretend they were rooting for them because, well, they're our local team, but they really didn't really root for them. I don't know what to make of this now. Now you have a franchise, an NFL franchise in Las Vegas, and they're able to take bets, and you wonder what's going on there.
Yeah. I'm getting this information about the NFL being rigged because there's so many videos out there, people that are claiming that, you know, sports in general can be rigged. But what you have to look at is there any precedence for this? Is there any evidence that at times the NFL is or any other sport is somehow cheating or rigged? Yeah, there is. I mean, there's the NBA refs you know, got caught.
It's so hard to prove. And you know, it goes back to the 1919 Black Sox saying.
Yeah, right.
She
was Joe Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you an interesting story. One of the players was Swede Risberg.
Yeah.
He was the shortstop, and he was one of the real instigators. Here's something that I did a story on nearly more than 10 years ago. This is fascinating. His son, Swede Risberg's son, lived in Red Bluff.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And if you ever look online, I did a two-part series. It was nominated for some awards. And we spoke to the daughter-in-law and Swede Risberg's son. It was like going back into a time tunnel, and it was, and I don't know, his name was Robert Risberg. Both of them have passed away. Swede Risberg spent the last remaining years of his life in Red Bluff in the 1960s. He died somewhere in the 60s, and he's buried up in Mount Shasta, the cemetery there. And I did a whole thing on it, and the ability for their family to just deny it and said, you know what, my dad never talked about it. My dad never brought the whole thing up because that was like a different part of his life. Mm. It was fascinating because he said that my dad was, you know, 23, 24 years old at the time. He probably thought it was okay to take this money. You know, it was a whole different time. And it was fascinating that people live with that kind of guilt and that kind of shame. And we see that happening now in sports with people who've taken steroids and trying to go back. And it's so important, I think, not to make bad decisions early in life.
Yeah. Some of the stories I've read say that Shoeless Joe Jackson actually got a bad rap. He actually did very well during that World
Series. But he took the money.
But they said that he didn't try to lose.
Right. He didn't. In fact, he was the best player on the team. Yeah. I think he hit .389. He hit a home run, had a bunch of RBIs. He played great.
He played fantastic.
But he took the money.
See, the whole thing is that, you know, I had this discussion with a friend of mine who's a football coach. And, you know, I barely mentioned, well, you know, there's a lot of people saying the NFL is rigged. Oh, no, it's not rigged. You just don't know football. So I looked at a lot of these videos that are out there. Mm. And people are trying to explain, why would somebody miss a tackle, so obviously miss a tackle? Why would a clock keep running even though the guy ran out of bounds and nobody said anything? Why would somebody kick a field goal when it didn't make a difference, or all these different things?
It made a difference in the spread.
It made a difference. It's all about the points, right?
Right.
So, I mean, also, are there precedents of players throwing games? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coaches betting on their own games? Yeah. Referees throwing games? Pete Rose?
Yeah.
You know, Tim McDonough from the NBA?
Right.
McDonough.
The referee, yeah.
The referee. I mean, here's a problem, and it's the same thing that God tells us and warns us about. It's position, power, and profit. As soon as you institute profit money into something, then you have the opportunity for corruption. The greed of it, and it's to blindly say nobody ever shaves a point, no coach ever, no player ever. And I know, has it been proven? So I have to only speak to the things that were proven, so I don't you know, allege anything. But yeah, there have been people that have been caught cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not a perfect game.
And the worst part is, you know, they have to live with that public shame.
Sure.
And in a way, it kind of goes to another area that I think is worth talking about, because and we see in our public life, and we're going to go to a break in about 10 seconds, but I kind of want to bring up what's going on in Fulton County, Georgia, where we have Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. You know the whole story. They're involved in a relationship, and they're trying to have a case in court against the former president. But it all comes down to deceit and lying, if that's the case, if that's what happens here. But making bad decisions and then trying to cover them up. We'll be right back.
Life 101, the basic rules for getting by and moving ahead in life.
Back in the 70s, the amazing Kraskin astounded people with an uncanny ability to read people's minds. Well, you'd think that a lot of us were applying to replace him, because often we actually fool ourselves into thinking we can read someone else's mind or actually know their motives. Why do we do that? Well, we really hate to say, I don't know, as in, I don't know what they're thinking. So when we don't know what they're thinking, we simply come up with something and state it as if it's fact, not the fiction that it really is. However, when you try to guess at someone's thoughts or motives, psychologists tell us we're actually revealing clues to our own dark agendas. Did you ever notice that when someone tries to read someone's mind or state their motives, it's almost always something really sinister? The Bible says that a man himself is the only one that knows his own thoughts and motives. So when it comes to reading someone else's mind, leave that to those magic shows in Las Vegas. Instead of reading motives, the mature, healthy approach is to say, I don't know. You are listening to Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM.
Serving in Afghanistan, I was shot in the head by sniper fire. I was given a 5% chance to live. I'm Adam Alexander, and I'm a veteran. Today, I visit classrooms and share my story. I tell kids that with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year.
My victory is being there for the next generation.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
It's at 2 p.m. Join us for Steve Gregg and the Narrow Path.
Each weekday or at our website where you can also hear the show. It's thenarrowpath.com.
I've been fascinated by this Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade situation. I'm not going to go into the whole details because it's just so complicated. But it seems apparent that these two had a relationship, a sexual relationship, well before Fannie Willis hired Nathan Wade to be a co-prosecutor, an assistant prosecutor in the case against President Trump for election interference in the state of Georgia. And but now we found out that they've had like 2,000 telephone calls over the last year, yeah, which is amazing.
And like 30,000 texts or
something like that. No, something.
Just the text.
An unbelievable number. And I don't text my wife that much in 10 years, which they do in a year, seriously. Yeah. And of course, they're able to identify his phone, that it was in the same location at 12:30 in the morning and then until 5 in the morning. And then,
at a cabin, right?
Yeah, and he's saying, well, I wasn't necessarily at her house. But it comes down to when somebody makes a bad decision. There's an old saying, the rule of holes. If you're digging a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging, you know? And so I look at this and I go, wouldn't it have been better for them to just say, you know what, we did something that was wrong and we made a mistake and we're going to step aside and let somebody else take over the case?
Yeah, nobody does that anymore.
Yeah. Now, if they had done that, their reputations would be tarnished, but not like they are now.
No.
Not like they are now. Now there's the potential of them being disbarred. Removed from the case, almost certainly, disbarred, maybe even facing charges of perjury.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they had just confessed, and it does tie back to what we were discussing earlier. Pete Rose.
Yeah.
I remember when it happened. I was a sportscaster at the time in Las Vegas, of all places.
Right.
And if Rose had come out and said, you know what, I made a mistake and I was wrong. I didn't bet on against my team, but I did bet, and it's still wrong and I'm going to take it. But because there was evidence all over the place.
Right.
I mean, there's evidence all over the place. They had him dead to rights. He might be in the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah.
If he had just, but he confessed like 10 years later.
Yeah, you know,
but by then it's too late.
You know how many people are in the Hall of Fame that bet that just didn't get caught?
Right, right.
You know, some people say Ty Cobb did that too, rumors and here and there.
Well, there's rumors too that there are players in the Hall of Fame who took steroids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The whole 80s, right. 90s steroids years. Yeah,
right.
It's crazy.
But because they weren't caught.
No.
And one of the things that it is painful is you see someone like Mark McGwire, Roger Clemens, and Barry Bonds.
Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa wouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame.
He is solely
based on steroids.
That's
his statistics
true.
Are.
Yeah.
But Bonds would have been a Hall of Famer without steroids.
Yeah.
Clemens probably would have been a Hall of Famer without steroids. McGwire, maybe not.
Maybe.
But you look at McGwire and he's just, it's so sad to see him.
Yeah.
Because he has such remorse and he can't make it go away.
Yeah.
And you can see it on his face.
That's what he's known for, you know.
So all of those accomplishments, and if he had confessed early on, there was a player that did confess. I can't remember. He was a journeyman shortstop. And he went on camera and he cried.
Mm.
I shamed myself. I did something wrong. I have such admiration for that guy.
I think Jose Canseco was another one.
Yeah. Well, he didn't cry. He just said, I did it. I'm glad
I did
it.
He wrote a book about
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. But he acknowledged it.
I did it.
Yeah. I guess we're trying to figure out here is we understand people cheat for greed. That's one of the seven deadly sins.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you know, the whole thing about, if you think about all these stories we're talking about, like Fannie Willis and agendas and things like that, it's everything God said don't do. Don't covet, don't commit adultery, don't lie,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't steal. And it's all the things that God says not to do. Boy, especially in, I hate to say this too, but I wish it was different, but politics are so corrupt. I know people that want to get into politics, but they're so honest and they try to do good. They'll get eaten up alive. I used to be the president of a school board here in Chico, and once in a while, people would say, you know, you should probably run for a local office. I'm going, no way.
Yeah.
No way. Number one, they'll dig up my past.
Right.
And I admit to my past, you know, as a believer, God's forgiven me, but
you don't want your children. You don't want the children to know the details
I don't
of your
want,
past.
No, I mean, well, they pretty much do, but right. They're adult children now. But yeah, my family, and they're running through, and then they'll do all these things, and it's this. It's a world system, and God never intended our system to be like this. He never no. wanted. Look at politics. Nobody will admit they're wrong. Nobody wants to give up power, and that's how the whole thing was started. You know, in the mid 2000s, somehow certain parties didn't want to give up power anymore. They just decided, we're not giving up power. We'll do anything. We will not give up power. They lie, cheat, steal, and that's why I'll never get into politics. No way.
Yeah, but I, what bothers me, I'm speaking with Alfredo Romero, the pastor at
Rock of Life Fellowship
over their service time is 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. The problem is, I don't think it was always like this. I think it has gotten worse. I think we like to make ourselves feel better and say, well, people lie, cheat, steal, fix games. It's always been like that. And I'm not so sure it's always been like that. There are instances, like you say, with the Black Sox scandal in 1919. There are probably maybe some things that went on. But now it's done, and it's done so boldly and without any real remorse in some ways.
Although, there's no remorse at all.
Although, you know—
Until they get caught.
Yeah, you know—
And then the remorse is because they got caught.
And what's so, you know, and if you're Barry Bonds— There's a part of me that has compassion for Bonds and
sure.
Clemens
sure.
and McGwire. McGwire especially, because you could see it in his face. He's so sad because of what he did. He knows he destroyed his legacy
yeah.
and all those home run records and all that money. All you're left with is your integrity. When you die, you know, none of that makes a difference.
Nope.
And in fact, nobody, there are people now that look and say, I think Bonds, when I talk to my son, who's a huge baseball fan, who's the all-time home run champion? You know who he says? Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron,
755.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the all-time home run king in a single season? It's Aaron Judge, 62,
yeah.
right? Before then it was Maris.
Right.
But Aaron Judge to me is the, but you know, I think Bonds had 73, McGwire had 70 or something. Those don't even count. It's like all that cheating, all those records, people don't even consider them to be a record anymore.
They were built on a sandy ground. It just
Boy, a sandy ground is right.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Continue our chat after this.
Candlelight flickers, a falcon calls, a lion green lizard scuttles down on the cabin wall, and all of these spirit voices.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, When Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Samantha Landy, and I bring you Psalms of Hope. Heard here on Life Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and noon. So do tune in and join me for beautiful music and an encouraging word from the Lord.
Psalms of Hope with Samantha Landy, Monday and Wednesday at noon, here on KKXX.
Your teaching and talk for real life.
Life Radio, KKXX, AM and FM. This is Live Local Talk.
I'm with Alfredo Romero, Rock of Life Fellowship, the pastor there. What is it they say? Something is good for the soul. Confession is good for the soul. How's that saying go? I can't remember it. But
I think you just said it. Confession's good for the soul. I think that's it, yeah.
And again, I guess we'll go back to, maybe let's talk about, do you ever run as a pastor? And I think you've talked to me. I've done things in my life that I'm ashamed of, and I've shared them with you, and you've shared them with me.
Sure.
There's something that feels good about acknowledging the wrongs that you've done, but you know what? That's God always says your sins are, you know, once you confess your sins, they're as far away from east as the west.
When He forgives you, yes.
When He forgives you. Right. But the difficulty with the conscience is always there. But do you think we're reaching a point where there's many people in our society in the United States where conscience is no longer a factor, where they're like, I just don't care. You know, I'm going to do whatever I want. And if it means fixing games, if it means lying under oath, if I can get away with it.
Yeah.
There's a great movie called Crimes and Misdemeanors, a Woody Allen movie, his best movie. And basically he commits a murder, and Martin Landau has his mistress murdered by his brother, who's a gangster, basically. Mm. And it's a whole morality tale. The question becomes, if you can live with the guilt and get away with the crime, you're home free. Is there that type of? I mean, it's a wonderful film. It's probably Woody Allen's best movie, Crimes and Misdemeanors. Is that where we're at now?
Yeah, I think so. Here's the thing: you have to look at it from the biblical standpoint of what God talks about. He says, "In the final days, people will be lovers of themselves. They'll cling to what's false. They'll hate what's good, and they'll cling to what's evil." God says that's just going to happen. And I think if you look at the last 20 years, our society is just crumbling like crazy. Why? Because people want to do what they want. I mean, look how blatant it is. God says, do my will. And the devil, the enemy, says, do what thou wilt, do what you want. And people sure are doing that. I'm 62 years old, right? I haven't seen this type of divide in years. It's because people are doing what they want. And it affects any culture, sports, entertainment, politics, society, groups, you know, corporations, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. I've never seen this kind of divide between people that are just so selfish. But God says that's exactly what they're going to do. They'll be lovers of themselves, and they're going to do what their flesh wants. They'll cling to what's evil, and they'll abhor, they'll hate what's good. And that's exactly what's happening. The crumbling of society is detailed in the Bible greatly. Mm-hmm. Why? Because people are pulling away from God. Jesus, one of the most boldest things Jesus ever said is, and I don't think it's quoted enough, you're either for me or you're against me.
I look at what's going on with Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade and anybody who's taken steroids or done any of these things.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, if they would just come forward and hold a press conference and acknowledge what they had done and say they were deeply sorry and repentant for what they had done, I would have such admiration for those people.
Yeah, that takes integrity.
I would say that takes integrity.
Yeah.
Why can't somebody stand up and just do that?
because they didn't have integrity in the first place. Because they commit, if you commit those types of sins, those types of, you know, breaking the law, etc., where there's no integrity there, there's nothing to, there's no foundation, there's nothing to stand on. This integrity doesn't just suddenly appear. That's why when people get caught doing things or they do something wrong, you don't get these apologies like I would desire, like you would desire. Hey, I'm really sorry. I was wrong. I made a mistake. I don't want to do this. I don't want this to be me. Forgive me. But they don't do that. They do that apology of the, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right.
Or I'm sorry for the situation, but they never take personal accountability.
Instead, what we see happening in the case with Fannie Willis is we see her going to a church, which allows her to go give a 30-minute sermon about saying that she's a victim and that she wraps herself up in Christianity.
Yeah.
And I blame the church just allowing as much as it. I blame her for allowing this to happen.
Yeah. There's no repentance there. And we talked about that in our church last week.
And really what that is, I mean, that's using God's name in vain. Even worse than saying GD, or probably worse than saying JC, in anger, but actually using God to cloak yourself in Christianity, even though it, based on what we know from what we've seen,
sure,
she's probably done something that is untoward.
Yeah.
And using Christ to shield her from criticism.
It's mocking God, basically. It's basically saying, hey, I've sinned, but God forgives me and I can sin.
Well, she hasn't even done that.
No, not at all. No.
She hasn't even done that.
No, I mean, that's the whole point. It's like, not like she's going in there going, God forgives me and he's got grace. There's no repentance there.
I would love to see somebody do that. I would love to see, assuming that she is—
The Jimmy Swaggart apology?
People mock him for that, but you know what? He was deeply sorry.
He admitted he was wrong.
Yeah, and people mock him for that, and they make that a meme where he's crying, and it looks kind of goofy. But you know what? He admitted he was wrong. He confessed his sin.
Yeah.
And I have admiration for Jimmy Swaggart in that respect.
It was better than the I'm a victim and people are against me and they're looking, rather than coming out and going, hey, I'm a sinner.
Well, I think we tried to solve the world's problems here. I guess it just comes down to integrity.
It comes down to your faith in Christ. People they suffer because of their unbelief. And if you don't have Christ as your foundation, you open yourself up to all these things we've talked about, the lying, the cheating, the stealing. And then even once you're a follower, all you do is battle against all that stuff all the time. You don't want to fall into temptation, and you're praying that you honor God. I tell my congregation this all the time. This is probably relates to all this. Our goal is not to be good people. Our goal is to be pleasing to God. Yeah. That's the goal.
Very good. Great way to end the show. The Reverend Alfredo Romero of Rock of Life Fellowship. You can find them all over on social media, Rock of Life Fellowship. Their service time is 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings.
Thank you,
good pastor, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, take good care and so long.
Ape men or humans? This is Ken Ham inviting you to bring the whole family to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. In the mid-1800s, workmen discovered some fossil bones in a cave, the first Neanderthals. Eventually, these people were given their own species name and treated as our more distant relatives, a dead-end branch on the evolutionary tree. But later